Good morning. One of the most important lessons I've learned from being a volunteer at Zen Hospice here in San Francisco is to be honest, especially to be honest to the people who are dying. I've been with people as they die, when their friends and their loved ones visit and are unable to say goodbye. They might say, "See you again tomorrow." They often say, "I love you," but then tag on, "I'll visit you again. I'll come frequently." It's an unconscious reaction to protect themselves from their own sadness, even their anguish, at the imminent death of their beloved. Denial as a protective reaction can be strong at the bedside of someone who is dying. It can feel overwhelming, threatening, to be honest in those moments and say goodbye. And yet, as a volunteer trained with Zen Buddhist precepts, that is what we are taught to be, honest. So, in all honesty, I'm going to shed my usual protective armor and admit that I find these readings for today shocking. And I don't honestly know what Jesus intended to teach us with these words. Except that he probably wanted and intended to shock his Jewish audience out of the complacency of their tradition into a present moment. The raw, fresh, electrically charged now, when preconceived notions and teachings no longer function. I can easily imagine the Jews who were listening to him looking at each other when he said these words, "Eat my body, eat my flesh." In fact, the actual translation should be, "Gnaw on my flesh." I can imagine them raising their eyebrows, registering concern on their foreheads, disbelief with their mouths. "What? You want us to eat your flesh?" It must have been humbling as well as exciting to have heard Jesus say these words and not know exactly what he was talking about. If we really take the time to listen to them as if for the first time, Jesus' words can bring us into that same electric moment. But most of us first need to untrain ourselves from reacting to these words. And that isn't easy to do since we live in a pretty reactive culture. So we're a small group here. Let me ask you, what were your reactions to the gospel reading today?
Shock. It's so graphic.
Graphic.
Discomfort.
Any visitors here for the first time thinking you're going to come back to church? Any other reactions?
Didn't make any sense.
Didn't make any sense. Illogical. You know, I chose these readings from the Catholic lectionary as a Roman Catholic. And in the middle of the week, I got a phone call from someone from the church and said, "How are those readings working for you, Darlene?" And then when the bulletin came out on email, I noticed there was a disclaimer about the graphic nature of the texts. They're troubling. Any other responses that you'd like to share? Yeah.
I think I know what it means.
You know what it means. What does it mean?
I think.
Yeah.
I think it's to just absorb Christ or love or light and beauty fully into your own being. Fully, totally, body,
I'm also reminded that ever since I was a little kid, saying the Lord's Prayer, you know how you get an image right away before anyone tells you. So there's a part, "Give us this day our daily bread." And I always thought of it as the day is our bread, not "give us something to eat today." And that occurred to me this week. And again, this is all very, you know, running away from the graphics through metaphor, but are we really running away through metaphor? I don't think so, but that's bread too.
Mm-hmm. It's all bread, isn't it? The Jews who heard Jesus had a reaction. They disputed over the meaning of his words. They got in a fight. How can you possibly mean this? Through the centuries, there have been several different kinds of theological and devotional responses to this text. In the Catholic faith, these texts have been solemnized. In fact, today is called the Solemnity of the Body and Blood of Christ, a day which traditionally parishes would take a pilgrimage of sorts. People would walk from parish to parish and take time to meditate through gazing on what they considered to be the body of Christ, the Eucharist, the Eucharistic wafer that would be on display for presentation and meditation. Some non-Catholics scoff at such a belief of meditating on the actual body of Christ. And some say that Catholics are not real Christians. Reaction, reactivity to their belief. Protestant thinkers have looked at this gospel text and have turned it into metaphor. From the 16th century on, some Protestant thinkers have found the passage to be untenable in the literal sense. Jesus couldn't have possibly meant it literally or physically, and insist, i.e. react, that Jesus intended to speak metaphorically. At the Last Supper, his words were meant to be a commemoration, leading us to replay the Last Supper. The bread and wine are to be symbolic of the body and blood, but not literally the body and blood. Swedenborg himself wrote this way about this text: "The Lord's flesh and the bread mean the divine good of Jesus' love, also all good of charity. And the Lord's blood and the wine mean the divine truth of his wisdom, also all truth of faith. And eating means appropriation," for Swedenborg. He stood away from that visceral, physical meaning of the words and created a metaphorical meaning. Some people scoff at Swedenborg's convoluted understanding of correspondences and their metaphorical interpretations of Scripture. A Franciscan friar with whom I had a conversation about Swedenborg not so long ago said, "Swedenborg is no Christian. I won't discuss his thought in my class," as his face turned red and his body quaked. It's fascinating how we react, isn't it? We have these strong reactions to these teachings. And it's fascinating to become aware that our reactions are somehow protecting us from some deeper raw nerve that we may or may not be aware of. So I'd like to explore this issue of reactivity a bit more, in part because we live in a highly reactive culture. We have a reactive political culture. Our religious life can be reactive. And if you drive on the freeways, you know that we have a reactive culture. And I'll admit, for a personal reason, reactivity is on my mind. My husband, Scott, and I recently adopted a new dog. His name is Gioco, which means game in Italian. Just a week ago, he's a sweet little terrier, probably a Jack Russell. Now, there was one time I said I would never own a Jack Russell. They're a little high-strung. But he's cute as can be and just adorable. And just, I call him a love bucket. He just loves to receive affection. When we went to the SPCA, we fell in love with him pretty quickly. And then after we fell in love with him, the volunteer pulled us aside and said, "You know, there's something you should know about him. He reacts to other dogs, small dogs on leashes." I thought, well, I can handle that. That's no big deal. So we put our deposit. I went back a few days later to pick him up. And then the staff member took 2 hours to discuss with me his little Joko's problem of reactivity. 2 hours of description and paperwork, that he reacts strongly when he sees other dogs. Now that we have him home, the reality of the situation is becoming clearer to us. He doesn't react just to dogs on leashes. He reacts to cats. He does react to dogs, big dogs, little dogs, any dog. He reacts to people as they're walking by. And he reacts to doves. Doves that fly by. His reactivity looks like this. He's 17 pounds, and his little body becomes very tense. You can see the tension growing in his body. His eyes engage with a piercing stare on his target. And if we're lucky, if we catch him at that moment, call his name, Joko, Joko, we can distract him away from his target and give him a treat. But often we can't distract him at this moment. He can't hear us. He can't hear our voices. He can't hear his name. He's so focused on his target. He can't see us. I've tried to stand in front of him, and he can't see me. He is so stuck on his target. And at this point, he growls, he lunges, and he barks. And he reacts in a way that I don't recognize him. This little love bucket who sits next to me when I'm reading on the chair, all of a sudden he becomes a very different dog. And I admit, he reacts in a way that I'm beginning to find irritating, annoying, and sometimes it takes the fun out of the simple pleasure of taking a walk. I understand that he acts this way ultimately out of fear. Fear of getting hurt. In his case, it appears that he probably has been hurt and maybe abused in the past. Some of this reactive behavior has become habitual, like when he cowers around running water. Running water that seems perfectly harmless to most of us, but to him, he fears it. He probably was astray and maybe had water poured on him to get him to go away. But this reactive fear is all about self-defense. So the job that Scott and I have is to shock Joko, to distract Joko out of this habitual behavior, to make a loud noise. I've been practicing making funny noises. Just to release that tension so he can move on and discover a new way of life. Free from pressure, free from tension. Now, with all due respect, I wonder if that's a little bit like what Jesus was doing with the Jews. He was shocking them, distracting them, with his new understanding of the bread and wine as his body and blood. It is a shocking idea, isn't it? A shocking image. And I wonder if we have become desensitized to his shocking tactics and may have settled into our own preferred interpretations of this text. Maybe we need to be more like Joko and be willing to be retrained. I'm not sure if he's willing yet, but I'm hoping he will be. When facing differing ideas, beliefs, practices, sometimes we can become reactive rather than reflective. We humans might become reactive in our own reflection, trying to cover up or tone down a raw reality, like the reality of this text. And yet we always have the opportunity to retrain ourselves to open up to new possibilities of understanding. Is it possible to hold a range of interpretations, understandings of this gospel for today at the same time? Or do we insist on one particular interpretation? Viral Mehta, who is the co-founder of CharityFocus.org, recently wrote a piece that was picked up by the Huffington Post. You might have read it. It was entitled, "Why is Humility So Underrated?" His essay began with this statement: "Insight often arises from simultaneously holding two seemingly contradictory notions and then allowing a deeper understanding to develop. And then he concludes with this truism: perhaps what humility really comes down to is space around our perception of the world, as well as our own self, space to hold conflicting information, take in other people's views. Humility gives us permission to withhold conclusion and realize that what we are is always still emerging. And this is good. This sense of humility seems to me to be at the basis of an honest faith, the title of this reflection. I wonder if we can refrain from reaction and allow the words of Jesus telling the Jews to eat his flesh, drink his blood, to be fully present without quick interpretations, with humility to offer space and breath, and to wonder, really wonder, at what Jesus meant. Next week, you will all be celebrating communion with your newly chosen pastor, Reverend Junchul Lee. You begin a new chapter in your life together as a parish, and I invite you to wonder deeply and broadly as you share the bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ together once again and for the first time. And in that moment, be open to the new meanings you experience together.